KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a partly cloudy sky, 71 degrees. We look forward to be clear to partly cloudy, hot and humid today, a high of 94 with a heat index around 102. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. A heat advisory will be in effect for those counties along and south of Interstate 80 beginning at 1 o'clock this afternoon, including Cass County. In the news, the Creston Police Department reports this morning a woman was arrested Wednesday afternoon on a theft charge. 41-year-old Carrie Johns of Creston faces a charge of fifth-degree theft. Johns was released from the Union County Law Enforcement Center on a promise to appear later in court. The driver of a pickup swerved to miss a deer Tuesday night in Page County, causing the vehicle to go out of control and rolled over. The Page County Sheriff's Office said yesterday the 44-year-old Stephen Wayne Falk of rural Essex was traveling in his 2012 Ford F-250 pickup when he swerved to avoid a deer. The vehicle went out of control into a ditch and rolled onto its top. That accident happened in the 1400 block of Avenue C, about a mile west of Essex, at around 10 p.m. on Tuesday. No injuries were reported. Damage to the pickup was estimated at $48,000. There were no citations issued. Authorities say a crash off Interstate 80 stranded a truck driver in an Iowa creek for several hours. The state patrol says the crash happened at around 4 a.m. Wednesday near a Waukee exit west of Des Moines. The driver of the semi lost control of the rig and went down between the bridges over Sugar Creek, landing upside down with its cargo produce strewn about. Bridge construction workers found the man at around 11 a.m. lying in the water about halfway up on some pallets. He was hospitalized and the crash remains under investigation. A 78-year-old man from Rippey died Wednesday afternoon after his all-terrain vehicle collided with a pickup truck in central Iowa's Greene County. Pat Powers reports.
The Iowa State Patrol reported a westbound 2007 Honda 300 ATV driven by Keith L. Devilbiss of Rippey apparently failed to yield the right-of-way at the intersection of 2nd and Howard Streets in Rippey. The Devilbiss ATV struck the front driver's side of a westbound 2005 Ford F-150 pickup truck driven by 18-year-old Nicholas Rice, also of Rippey. Devilbiss died of his injuries at the accident scene. The accident remains under investigation. Reporting from Webster City, I'm Pat Powers.
A former police chief who sued the city of Hartley over his firing has settled the lawsuit. The dismissal of Mark Yanni's lawsuit was filed Wednesday in U.S. District Court in Sioux City. The settlement agreement says the city's insurance carrier, EMC Corporations, will pay Yanni $25,000 on behalf of the city. The city will pay Yanni's attorneys $75,000 to be split with Yanni in accordance with his contract with the attorneys. Yanni was fired in January of 2014, and he sued the city in October of that year, alleging in a lawsuit that he was fired because he filed a grievance alleging a labor law violation. The city said Yanni's firing was unrelated to the grievance. The Iowa Transportation Commission approved the annual update to the five-year plan for road improvements on Tuesday. The director of the DOT Planning and Programming Division, Stuart Anderson, says they'll spend a little more once again this year.
It's $3.5 billion. That's a $300 million increase over last year's program. And that increase is primarily due to the passage of a federal transportation authorization bill that provided some additional funding for improvements. And then, of course, this program comes on the heels of the program the commission approved last June, which had $500 million increase over the previous program as a result of the legislative action to increase the fuel tax.
A big slice of the money approved is going toward bridges.
About a third of that $3.5 billion is going for bridge improvement or bridge construction across the state of Iowa.
He says the amount of money spent on bridges has steadily increased and the number of structurally deficient bridges on the state highway system has been reduced from 256 in 2006 to 81 in 2015, and they have prioritized the bridges to decide which ones will get worked on first in the next year.
Certainly the bridge condition plays a role in that prioritization, as does the amount of travel on that bridge and type of travel, and also as it's coordinated with other projects and in different parts of the state, that may impact schedule as well. So it's a combination of factors.
The plan adds a new year of projects each year as projects are completed and some major projects carry over.
The interstate reconstruction in Council Bluffs and in Sioux City has been underway and continues in this program. We also have four-lane construction of U.S. 20 in western Iowa in this program, and also U.S. 30 in Tama and Benton counties. Also, U.S. 61 four-lane construction down in southeast Iowa is included in the program.
The DOT planners put together the estimated cost of the projects before they are approved by the Transportation Commission. Anderson says they've been fortunate that the final bids have been better than expected.
For the last several years, pretty consistently, the bids have come in below the programmed amounts. That has resulted in additional funding becoming available for more projects to be programmed.
You can see the complete list of projects in this story at www.news.iowadot.gov. A Cedar Rapids highway currently under construction appears to be on track to open ahead of schedule. The first half of Highway 100 extension could be open by Thanksgiving. It had been scheduled to open sometime next year, with the entire project to open in the fall of 2018. Bill Nielsen, an Iowa Department of Transportation senior construction technician, says there's almost 2 miles of pavement ready to use now on the $215 million highway extension. Steve Stabler, a DOT construction tech supervisor, said one piece of the bypass that's nearly complete was also the most completed, and or complicated, that is, and that's the first new bridge to span the Cedar River in Cedar Rapids. It's in that area since I-380 opened through the downtown area back in 1978. North Liberty won't contribute to a study of Johnson County passenger rail because previous reviews show such a service isn't feasible. The North Liberty City Council on Tuesday refused to spend about $3,300 on a study of a potential rail line between Iowa City and North Liberty. Iowa City, Coralville, and Johnson County have agreed to contribute to a $50,000 study, with most costs covered by the State Transportation Department and Cedar Rapids and Iowa City Railroads. North Liberty Council member Chris Hoffman says earlier studies show that ridership won't be high enough or wouldn't be high enough. Others noted the study would focus on service between Iowa City and North Liberty and would consider a line dedicated to passenger service rather than shared passenger and freight services. An IRS report says a central Iowa casino owes up to $60 million in back taxes and penalties. Prairie Meadows Racetrack and Casino's Board of Directors released a 93-page IRS report Wednesday that threatens to revoke its tax-exempt status and a letter protesting federal agencies' actions. Prairie Meadows has operated as a tax-exempt nonprofit since 1989. Casino officials learned about the IRS's plans to take away its tax-exempt status on May the 12th, following a year-and-a-half investigation. The IRS audit found that Prairie Meadows is operating more like a business than exclusively for social welfare purposes, and that it lacks Polk County oversight. The appeal outlines the way the casinos continue to be a valid social welfare organization. Federal prosecutors say a Northwest Iowa ethanol plant owner has pleaded guilty to failing to pay employment taxes and dumping ethanol into a stream. Randy Less of Hopkinton was charged in January with failing to collect and to pay the government federal income, Social Security, and Medicare taxes withheld from the wages of employees of Permate Refining. At his guilty plea hearing on Tuesday, Less admitted he failed to properly handle payroll taxes. He also admitted that in July of 2013, he discharged ethanol into an unnamed tributary of the Maquoketa River, violating the Clean Water Act. A sentencing date hasn't been set. He faces up to 5 years in prison for the tax charge and up to 3 years for the ethanol discharge and fines of up to $500,000. The news was brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.